I'm very happy to be here, but my only disappointment is that Radhanath Maharaj is not here. I was looking forward to his association. This morning, I just came from Calcutta to Bombay. Then from the airport, I had gone to meet somebody in the city. And then I came straight over here. So I'm not properly dressed with tilak. Most of them, is my tilak still there? I was thinking that I don't have my tilak on, probably it got washed away, but there was no time to put on my tilak also, so please bear with me. And that Prabhupada used to be very particular that we always have our tilak adorning our forehead. Prabhupada used to say that the forehead without a tilak looks like a crematorium. And today I have to take a flight in the evening back to Ujjain. Thank you very much for accepting the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for helping the propagation of Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much for so sincerely following the wonderful teachers that you have found in ISKCON, especially His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada came to give this world an unique gift. Actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute this very special gift that was about 500 years ago. And at that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forecasted that what he gave will be distributed all over the world, will be distributed in every town and village. The gift that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave was a very rare one, was a very special one. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, but Krishna himself never gave this gift to anyone before. Not anyone before, but Sri Krishna gave it with a great reservation and caution to some very, very qualified individuals, to some very, very rare spiritual personalities. Krishna gave that gift. But when Krishna came as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he distributed this gift without any reservation. He did not consider the qualification. He did not consider the eligibility of the person to receive it. He just indiscriminately, without any reservation, he distributed that gift. And what is that gift? That gift is Krishna Prem. Krishna Prem specifically means Braja Prem, the love that the devotees offer to Krishna in Vrindavan. And the way Krishna reciprocates that love is known as Braja Prem. This is the most brilliant and most exalted of all the loving relationships that Krishna ever exchanges with his devotees. This has been therefore described as Ujjvala Unnata Rasa. Unnata Ujjvala Rasaṁ Svabhakti Shriyam. Krishna came to distribute something which never gave before. Anarpita Charin Chirat. Chirat means for a long, long time. Chirat can also indicate never. But it is not exactly never, but it is for such a long time that Krishna did not give. It can be considered as if it was never given before. When did he give it before? He gave it in another day of Brahma. That means, in the previous day of Brahma, that means 4.32 billion years ago. 4.32 billion years ago. What is a billion? 1,000 million is a billion. And what is a million? 1,000,000 is a million. So long ago, Krishna gave in another day of Brahma. Now, 500 years ago, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give the same thing, that is Braja Prem. And that also he gave without any reservation and without any discrimination, without consideration of eligibility whatsoever. Therefore, Rupa Goswami considered that this person who is giving Krishna Prem in this way, which is so rare, this Prem is so rare, it is rare for Lord Brahma, it's rare for all the demigods, it is also rare for Lord Shiva. It is not that they don't get, but they get only when the Lord bestows His special mercy upon them. Now that Prem, which is rare for Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, who can give this Krishna Prem in this way? Who can give it? It must be Krishna Himself. That is how Rupa Goswami is revealing the identity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahavadannaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. I offer my respectful obeisances, Namo Mahavadannaya, to this Mahavadannaya, the most munificent personality of Godhead. The most munificent personality, Mahavadannaya. Why? Because Krishna Prema Pradayate. He is giving out, he is distributing Krishna Prema. Therefore, this person must be Krishna Himself. Who is this person? This person is Krishna Chaitanya. Krishna Chaitanya Namne. But He must be Krishna Himself. Otherwise, who else can distribute this Krishna Prem in such a way? So this is how Rupa Goswami recognized that this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna Himself. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurattishe Namaha. Now, if we consider why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving out this Krishna prema in this way. Because this Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. In the previous age, Krishna performed his pastimes in Vrindavan. Only once in a day of Brahma, that means in 1,000 Chaturjugas, once Krishna comes to give out his Braja Prem, to distribute or to relish his Braja Prem or Vrindavan pastimes. Although there are 4 Jugas and the Lord incarnates in all 4 Jugas, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga. But not that in every Kali Yuga the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself comes. He comes only once in a day of Brahma, in his Swayam Roop, in his original identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu? No. Is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan? Is the Supreme Personality of Godhead any other incarnations? No. He is not an incarnation. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of all incarnations. Ete changsha kala pungsha krishnastu bhagavan swayam. In Srimad Bhagavatam, after describing different incarnations, 22 different incarnations have been described, and then it has been pointed out that Krishna has innumerable incarnations. Krishna has innumerable such incarnations. Only 22 have been mentioned, but Krishna has innumerable incarnations, countless incarnations. But Krishna is not an incarnation. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. He is not an incarnation, but he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This point also has been explained in Brahma Samhita. Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishthan Nana Avataram Akarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Parama Pumanjo. Ram Adi Murtishu, Ram, Nrisingha, Varaha, Kurma. There are many such incarnations. Ramadi Murtishu, but they are Kala Niyamena Tishthan. They are parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kintu, but Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramah Pumanjo. But Krishna is the Supreme Original Personality of Godhead. Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramah Pumanjo. Paramah Pumanjo, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then what is the difference between Krishna and incarnation? That also has been very wonderfully explained in Brahma Samhita. Deepar chireva hidasantaram abhupetya deepayate vibrita hetu samana dharma. Just as many lamps can be lit by one original lamp. Deepar chireva hidasantaram abhupetya and deepayate vibrita hetu samana dharma. But once they're lit, then all the lamps give out the same amount of light. All the lamps have the same quality. Qualitatively, they are all the same. But the original lamp lit the other lamps. So the incarnations are Krishna himself. There is no difference between Krishna and his incarnations. They have the same amount of potency. All the incarnations are Krishna himself. He may not display all his qualities fully, but he is the same personality. Samana dharma. Qualitatively, they are one. Similarly, Krishna is the original personality from whom all the incarnations have become manifest. And they are all displaying, they all possess the same amount of potency. Now, any incarnation of Krishna possesses the same amount of potency. For example, in this age of Kali, how did Krishna manifest? Of course, one is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we discussed. But there is another way Krishna incarnated in this age. How? In the form of his holy name. This holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This name is non-different from Krishna. This name is an incarnation of Krishna, therefore this name is non-different from Krishna. Non-different from Krishna means what? Whatever potency Krishna has, the name also has the same potency. Naam naam akari bahudha, nija sarva shaktis, tatrarpita niyamita smarane nakala. In his names, Krishna has invested his entire potency. Nija sarva shakti. Sarva means total, complete, entire. And shakti means potency. So Krishna has invested his entire potency in his holy name. So, holy name, is there any difference between the holy name and Krishna? Is there any difference between Lord Ramchandra and Krishna Chandra? Is there any difference between Vishnu and Krishna? Is there any difference in Narayan and Vishnu and Krishna? Is there any difference between Varahadev and Krishna? No. Similarly, there is no difference between the holy name and Krishna. The holy name is Krishna himself. So Krishna came in this age to distribute this very special mercy in the form of his holy name. And how does one worship the holy name? Krishna must be worshipped, right? Like we have Krishna also manifested here on the altar. How did Krishna manifest? As the Archabhigra, as the deities. Is there any difference between Krishna and the deity? Is there any difference between Krishna and Gopinath on the altar? No. It's Krishna himself. There's no difference. Somebody may say, how can I see Krishna? And what is our answer? Come to Radha Gopinath temple and have his darshan. But in order to see Krishna, you have a special eye. You have to have a special set of eyes. What is the special set of eyes? Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. Your eyes have to be anointed with love and devotion. When your eyes, the same eyes, now these eyes, I don't know about yours, but mine, now my eyes are devoid of prema. Therefore I can't see Krishna. But when the eyes become anointed with love, then we will see that this Archavigraha, Radha Gopinath on the altar is Krishna himself. And now you can consider, if you see Krishna, what will you do? If you see Krishna, what will you ask him? What will you tell him? Krishna, give me a lot of money? Okay, if that's what you want, you can come and ask him. See what happens. But a devotee, what does he do? What does he, when he comes to Krishna, what does he say? He says, my Lord, please allow me to serve you. Please allow me to love you. And that is our prayer. When you come to Krishna, what do we say? We say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And when you come to Krishna and ask him, Krishna, allow me to love you. Krishna, allow me to serve you. And O Srimati Radharani, I am so fallen, I have become so conditioned. Now you please help me to become free from my conditioned stage. And please allow me to render devotional service to Krishna. Now when you pray to Krishna like that, does Krishna hear? Isn't Krishna hearing? And that's why Krishna is giving you so many wonderful opportunities to serve. Right? So Krishna is all cognizant. And Krishna will fulfill our desires. Whatever we want from our hearts, Krishna will fulfill those desires. But we should be very careful what we want from Krishna. Like if you go to a very rich man, will you just ask him for a piece of glass? You go to a very rich man and the rich man asks, so please tell me what you want. Will you just tell him, give me 5 rupees? The rich man says, come on, tell me. Whatever you want, you can take from me. I'm prepared to give you. Just like when Vamandev went to Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj asked him, please tell me what you want. I'm prepared to give you. And he said, I only want 3 steps of land. Bali Maharaj said, what? Just 3 steps of land? Do you know who you came to? I am Bali. I am famous for my charity. And you have come to me, so ask for anything I am prepared to give you. But Bali Maharaj, but Vamandev, what did he ask from Bali Maharaj? Just give me 3 steps of land. But his 3 steps meant something inconceivable. But this is how Krishna also is telling us, what do you want? Please tell me what do you want. And whatever you want, I am prepared to give you. So in this way, Krishna has appeared in the form of his holy name. When you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna is prepared to fulfill all our desires. But we should be careful. If our desires are material, then we'll miss out on this opportunity. So when we approach this Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should be very careful to ask for the greatest gift. And what is the greatest gift? Krishna prema pradayate. He is prepared to give us Krishna prema. Now the question is whether we want Krishna prema. As long as we are in ignorance, we won't recognize the value of Krishna prema. Just as an ignorant person doesn't know the value of a diamond or a very precious jewel, right? There is an expression, casting pearls in front of a swine. I mean, if you give the swine, means the pig, some pearls, what will the pearl say? He'll sniff it and say, well, it doesn't smell so delicious. And he will reject it. A pig goes after dirt. he doesn't recognize the value of pearls. Similarly, materially motivated people simply want sense gratification. But they do not know why they want their sense gratification and how to gratify their senses properly. The senses, why do we want sense gratification? Sense gratification means fulfillment of our desires for sense enjoyment. Right? But why do we want sense enjoyment? Because we think that through sense enjoyment, we will get joy. What we are actually searching for is joy. Joy means, joy, Sanskrit word for joy is ananda. Ananda. And the expression is enjoy. Everyone is trying to enjoy. Experience the joy. Everyone is searching after ananda. But is there any ananda through sense gratification? By fulfilling the desires of our sense pleasure, do we get joy? No. Rather, through that we become miserable. The more, the law of material nature is, the more we run after sense enjoyment, the more we'll suffer. So do we want enjoyment or suffering? We want enjoyment, but through sense gratification, what do we get? We get suffering. Therefore, is it advisable to run after sense gratification? Will an intelligent man go after sense gratification? No. But actually what he wants is joy, ananda. Now how that ananda or joy can be experienced? How can it be experienced? Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. By rendering devotional service, which means with the senses, serve the Lord of the senses. Who is the Lord of the senses? Rishikesha, Rishik, Isha. Rishika, Isha, Rishikesha is Krishna. So the real joy comes not by trying to gratify our senses, but real joy comes out of rendering service to Krishna. So we all are hankering for joy, and this is the way to enjoy. Therefore, we see that people, those who are trying to enjoy in the material nature, they're always frustrated and they're so miserable. But then, he gets a taste of devotional service. Then what happens? Then he can't give it up. Even though he may think that there is some pleasure. He goes and then he realizes how miserable those endeavors actually lead one to. So then he realizes, okay, now no more running after sense enjoyment. Once bitten, twice shy. Once we realized that our endeavor for sense gratification is simply going to give us suffering, therefore let us not run after the sense gratification. But then we experience the joy. Like one thing we notice, when we see the faces of devotees and when we see the faces of non-devotees, do we see some difference? Devotees, although they're shaved head, they don't care for their physical beauty, they wear very simple, ordinary clothes. But still, their appearance is so effulgent. Why? When does one's face become effulgent? when one is really happy, when one is enjoying, and when one is suffering, how does his face look like? His face looks so haggard, so depressed, so miserable. From his appearance, he looks that. And you can see, put a devotee in one side and a non-devotee side by side, we can, just from the shape of their face, we can figure out who is a devotee and who is a non-devotee. Who is experiencing the joy of Krishna consciousness and who is suffering in the material nature. So from these are the practical proofs. These are the proofs from which we understand that Krishna consciousness is so genuine. Krishna consciousness gives us the taste of joy. And that is why when one gets the taste of Krishna consciousness, he can't give up. You know, in ISKCON, there are so many devotees who are coming from very wealthy background. They could have all the enjoyment of this world, but they are not interested in that enjoyment. Rather, when their parents try to take them away from Krishna consciousness and give them so many allurements, come and I'll give you so much money, I'll give you a palace, I'll give you all this. They say, no. I'm happy just being where I am. I'm happy being a brahmachari, living with 25 other devotees in one room, sleeping on the floor, waking up at 3:30 in the morning. Why? Because he has experienced the real joy that springs forth from the depth of one's heart due to one's loving relationship, loving exchange with Krishna. So Krishna, after performing his Braja Leela in Dwapar Yuga, Krishna considered that how now I have revealed my Braja Leela, but how will anybody ever enter into Vrindavan? Because this has been explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita and also explained by Srimad Nityananda Prabhu in Navadvip Mahatmya, when he was, after taking Jiva Goswami in the parikrama of Navadvip, Nityananda Prabhu was instructing Jiva Goswami, and there also he made this point. Why Krishna came as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Because after performing his Vrindavan pastimes, Krishna considered that I have revealed my Vrindavan pastimes, but how will anyone enter into Vrindavan? Because a devotee will naturally serve me through Vaidhi Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti means devotional service according to the instructions of the scriptures. When one executes devotional service following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, that bhakti is called Vaidhi Bhakti. So one naturally serves Krishna following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. And it has been emphatically pointed out also, Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatra, Bidhing Vina, Oikantiki Harer Bhaktir. Do you remember? What's the fourth line? Utpata iva kalpate. Utpata iva means, utpat means disturbance. Disturbance. So this verse implies that if one renders devotional service, even though it may be very heartfelt, very sincere, oikantiki, even though the devotional service may be very sincere, very earnest, but if that devotional service is rendered without following the instructions of Shruti, Smriti, Puran, etc., scriptures. Without following the instructions of the scriptures, if we render devotional service, even though it is very sincere and very earnest, still it will simply create disturbance. Utpatoiva kalpat. It will simply become disturbance. So what does it mean? When you render devotional service, it must be done, it must be executed following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. Now Krishna considered, a devotee will render service to me, devotional service to me, following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. And when one follows Vaidhi Bhakti and attains perfection, then what happens to him? When one following Vaidhi Bhakti achieves the perfection of his spiritual practice, then where does he go? He goes to Vaikuntha. He goes to Vaikuntha. By following Vaidhi Bhakti, when one achieves perfection, he goes to Vaikuntha. Now, Vrindavan, is Vrindavan Vaikuntha? No. Vrindavan is beyond Vaikuntha. Beyond Vaikuntha. Actually, even from Vaikuntha, one cannot go to Vrindavan. How many of you read Brihad Bhagavatamrita? Please raise your hands. Okay, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it has been explained in the second chapter. Brihad Bhagavatamrita's second chapter describes the journey of a cowherd boy from Govardhan. His name is Gop Kumar. Gop Kumar, he was a cowherd boy, but due to his very good fortune, he came across a bona fide spiritual master, a pure devotee of the Lord, and he gave him the mantra. And by chanting the mantra, Gop Kumar was making spiritual advancement. And he was going from one place to the higher, next higher place. Like Gop Kumar was a cowherd boy, just to give a summary of that. He was a cowherd boy. Gop Kumar became a king. Then he gave up his kingdom. Then he goes to Jagannath Puri. Then he becomes the king of Jagannath Puri. Then he gave up. Then he was elevated to Swargaloka, heavenly planet. Swarloka. Then he became elevated to Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Sattaloka. In Sattaloka, he became Lord Brahma. He became Brahma. And then, he again met his spiritual master, and spiritual master instructed him. So Gop Kumar again came back to the earth planet, to Vrindavan. His spiritual master told him to come back to Vrindavan and practice the devotional service there, chanting the holy name of the Lord. And now as a result of that, Gop Kumar transcended the material universe, material nature, and he went through the seven layers, layer of water, layer of earth, layer of water, fire, air, ether, mind, false ego, then mahatattva. Then finally, he went beyond material nature. He came to Brahma Jyoti. Then from Brahma Jyoti, he went to Vaikuntha. Then from Vaikuntha, he went even higher than, in the higher region of Vaikuntha is Ayodhya. And even higher than Ayodhya is Dwarka. And in Dwarka, Gop Kumar was having the association of Krishna. And Krishna displayed an incredible amount of affection to Gop Kumar. But still Gop Kumar was not satisfied. So one day Narad Muni came to Dwarka and he saw Gop Kumar. And he detected that Gop Kumar's heart was not content. So he asked, Gop Kumar, what happened? You are in Dwarka, you are having the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Still, why are you not satisfied? So then he said, my Lord, my heart, I know, I have received such inconceivable good fortune. But still my heart is not content, because my heart is yearning for a young boy who tends cows in the forest, and who wears a peacock feather on his head, and he plays flute. So Narad Muni then told him, okay, actually your attraction is for Krishna in Vrindavan. So you go back to the earth planet, and there in Braja, in Vrindavan, you perform Sankirtan, and that will qualify you to go to Vrindavan. So this is the point I was trying to make, that even from Vaikuntha, one cannot go to Vrindavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered that, and rather Krishna, after performing his Braja Leela in Dwapar Yuga, he considered that a devotee will naturally render devotional service unto me, following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, by the bhakti, but he will reach Vaikuntha. But how will one come to Vrindavan? Therefore, Krishna decided to come as a devotee. Now, when one renders devotional service unto this devotee Krishna, following the Vaidhi Bhakti, then he becomes eligible to enter into Vrindavan. When one renders devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, his destination is Vaikuntha. But when one renders devotional service following the rules and regulations of the scriptures to the devotee Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he becomes qualified to enter into Vrindavan. So that's why, after performing his pastimes in Vrindavan, in Dwapar Yuga, in the following Kali Yuga, Krishna appears as a devotee. And that devotee Krishna is Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's why this is the Mahavadanya Dan, the most munificent expression of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is enabling us to enter into Vrindavan. Now, this same point we can also approach in another way. Nectar of Devotion in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami is making that point. That by same point, by following Vaidhi Bhakti, one is eligible. One, when he achieves perfection, he enters into, or he achieves Vaikuntha. Now, to enter into Braja, the way is by practicing Raganuga Bhakti. The way to enter Braja is Raganuga Bhakti. Now, what is Raganuga Bhakti? Rag means, the word rag means love. And Anuga means following. When one follows the Ragatmika Bhaktas of Vrindavan, then one becomes eligible to enter into Vrindavan. When one develops a spontaneous love for a resident of Vrindavan, one of the eternal associates of Krishna who are situated in the Rag Bhakti or Ragatmika Bhakti, one becomes eligible to enter into Vrindavan. Achha, to make this point, I'll also bring another incident. I'll narrate one incident. Probably you remember that. when Lakshmi Devi heard about Rasa Leela, Rasa dance, she told Narayan that, Narayan, I want to witness your Rasa Leela, Rasa dance. Narayan said, okay, you can, in order to do that, you have to follow one of the gopis of Vrindavan. You have to follow the footsteps of a gopi of Vrindavan, and by receiving the mercy of that gopi, you will be able to enter into Vrindavan. Lakshmi said, how is it possible? I am Lakshmi. How can I bow down to anyone else? Narayan said, then forget about going to Vrindavan. Lakshmi was very disappointed and she was very hurt. So she decided, she performed a great, great austerity, tapasya. And as a result of that, Krishna came to Lakshmi and asked, Lakshmi, what happened? Why are you performing such austerity? And Lakshmi said, I want to enter into your Rasa Leela. I want to witness your Rasa Leela. Then, what did Krishna do? Krishna carried Lakshmi on his chest. And that is Sri Vatsya, the mark of Lakshmi, the mark of Sri. And that is how Lakshmi Devi entered into Vrindavan. So the point is, in order to enter into Vrindavan, we must receive the mercy of one of the associates of Vrindavan. And how can we receive the mercy? When we follow the footsteps, or when we serve that personality of Vrindavan. And that is called Raganuga Bhakti. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami is explaining that the only way to enter into Vrindavan is by, is through Raganuga Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti will lead us to Vaikuntha. Only Raganuga Bhakti can take us to Vrindavan. So now, what's the definition of Raganuga Bhakti? Following a Ragatmika Bhakta. Those who are associates of Krishna, those who have pure love for Krishna. And they are the residents of Vrindavan. They are situated in three principal mellows: Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhur. Now, of all the devotees of Krishna in Vrindavan, who is the greatest devotee, who has the greatest love for Krishna? Srimati Radharani. Now, when Krishna comes as a devotee, then how does Krishna come? Krishna comes assuming the mood of Srimati Radharani. So, and that personality is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, when we follow Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are we following? Whose footsteps are we following? Srimati Radharani. And Radharani is the greatest Ragatmika Bhakta. So what's the best way to follow Raganuga Bhakti? Follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the point that Nityananda Prabhu made to Srila Jiva Goswami in Navadvip Mahatmya. So this actually makes it very clear. Like, there is no need to separately try to follow, concoct some process or method of practicing Raganuga Bhakti. Just follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that will amount to Raganuga Bhakti. That is the real Raganuga Bhakti. And at the same time, it is Vaidhi Bhakti. Now you consider, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidhing Vina Oikantike Harer Bhaktir Utpatoiva Kalpati. If we don't follow the injunctions of the scriptures like Shruti, Smriti, Puran, etc., then even though we may be rendering sincere devotional service, it will simply create a disturbance. So there is no way we can give up Vaidhi Bhakti. We have to follow Vaidhi Bhakti. But when this Vaidhi Bhakti is directed towards Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that automatically becomes Raganuga Bhakti. And thus one becomes eligible to enter into Vrindavan. Therefore, there is no need to separately try to practice some process out of mental concoction. I am a gopi, my age is 15 years, the color of my sari is this, and so forth. A waste of time. And what does it ultimately do? It simply creates a disturbance. We have seen so much disturbance is created when some unscrupulous people come and try to give this kind of Siddha Pranali, a way to enter into Vrindavan. Come, Prabhupada didn't give you everything, I'll give you something that Prabhupada didn't give. Prabhupada gave everything. Prabhupada gave what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. So there is no need for looking for something else out of ISKCON. Prabhupada has given everything. And everything has been so wonderfully justified and substantiated by the scriptural evidence. Now, let us go back to that point. Vaidhi Bhakti to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself in the mood of a devotee. So what is the Vaidhi Bhakti? Vaidhi Bhakti means according to the scripture, scriptural injunction. So how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is meant to be worshipped? According to the scriptural injunctions? How? Jaggai sankirtana prayair jajantihi sumenhasah. Krishna Varnam Tishakrishnam Sangapangastra Parshadam Yagai Sankirtana Prayair Jajantihi Sumedhasaha. Where is it from? Srimad Bhagavatam. So Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi. Okay, let's go into Mahabharata also. What does it say, Mahabharata? Shuvarna varna hemanga barangas chandanangadi shannashakritchamo shanta nishtha shanti parayanaha. Shuvarna varna hemanga. Krishna, his complexion is dark like monsoon cloud. But that dark complexion now has been covered with a golden complexion. Krishna assumed a golden complexion. Shubarna barna himanga barangas chandanangadi. His beautiful form is anointed with sandalwood pulp. And sannasakrit, he will accept sannas. And Shamo Shanti Nishtha Shanti Parayana. And he is teaching in this way the path of peace and proper spiritual advancement. Peace and austerity, controlling of the senses. So who is teaching that? Who is that personality? Let's consider of all the incarnations of the Lord, in which incarnation did he accept sannas? So it's clear. Srimad Bhagavatam also, in the 11th canto, there is another verse, 12th canto. Takta sudustaja shurepshita rajya lakshmin dharmishtha arja vachasa jadagad arannam mayam mrigam daitaipshit samanna dhavad vande mahapurushate charanaravindam. I worship the lotus feet of that most magnanimous personality, Mahapurusha, who takta sudustaja, who gave up the opulence of a king and monarch, the Rajya Lakshmim, the blessed benedictions of Lakshmi in the form of prosperity and achievements. And dharmishtho arja vachasa, in order to fulfill the word of a brahmana, he accepted the renounced order of life. Do you now remember why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas? One brahmana cursed him. Dharmishtha arja vachasa jad agad arannam. Mayam mrigam daitayet tishaman nidhavad. In order to teach the living entities how to overcome the allurements of the material nature. So who is this personality? Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Vaidhi Bhakti is according to the instructions of the scriptures. So how this personality is worshipped? Krishna Varnam Tishakrishnam Sangha Pangastra Parshadam Yagai Sankirtana Prayoi. He is worshipped through Sankirtan, congregational chanting, chanting the holy name of the Lord. And Jajantihi Sumedhasaha, those who are truly intelligent, Sumedhasaha, they will worship him through this Sankirtan. Sankirtan Yogya Kare Krishna Aradhan. In the age of Kali, Krishna is meant to be worshipped through this chanting of the holy name. Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Namaiva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatirannatha. In the age of Kali, there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way besides chanting the holy name of the Lord. So what Srila Prabhupada came to give, is it perfectly bona fide? Is it substantiated in scriptural with scriptural evidence? Does anybody have any doubt? I am prepared to accept any challenge. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yeah. Is the mic?
Thank you, Maharaj, for the beautiful class. Maharaj, you have mentioned in your beautiful discourse that there is absolutely no difference between Krishna, His holy name, His Archa Vigraha. But most of us who are sadhakas, we have tremendous difficulties in seeing Krishna in the form of His holy name. We are not able to find His presence in the holy name. And that's the reason we fall asleep. And we don't have the taste, but given a chance, we would love to worship the deities, because given a chance, if Krishna is standing in front of us here, we will run to him. But the holy name is available, but we don't have that attraction, even though, as you mentioned, there is no difference. So what is the reason of us not getting attracted to the holy name?
In the second verse of Shikshashtakam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dealt with that point for us. Etadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi durdaivam idrisham ihajane nanuragaha. My Lord, although nam nam akari bahudha nija sarva shakti, although you have invested all your potency in your holy name, and tatrarpita niyamita smaranena kala, there is no consideration of time, place and circumstances. Anyone at any point in time, at any place, can chant the holy name of the Lord. So in this way, in the first half of the verse, he explains how mercifully the Lord has bestowed His mercy upon us in the form of His holy name. But then he is saying, Durdaivam Idrisham, but it's my misfortune that Iha Jani Nanuraga, that I did not develop any taste for this. Anurag. So what to do? Like Prabhupada dealt with this point. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also dealt with this point. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur also dealt with this point. Because this is actually the main problem. In Harinam Chintamani, Haridas Thakur also considered the most grievous offense to the holy name actually is inattentive chanting. The inattentive chanting has been considered to be the most serious offense. So the point is that chant attentively. When you are chanting, do it properly. Chant attentively. If you are chanting, might as well do it attentively. Right? What's the point in just chanting and mind letting the mind go somewhere else? That will not give us the desired result. Right? So, his point is chant attentively. That's the first consideration. But still, the point comes up, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out, that so many lifetimes of bad habit will not go away overnight. We have developed this bad habit of dwelling in the realm of our senses and for sense gratification. We won't be able to give it up overnight. It'll take time. Therefore, have patience. But continue to chant the holy name as attentively as possible. Be vigilant. Okay, mind will go away, mind will drift. But the moment you track, moment you realize the mind is drifting, bring the mind back. And Prabhupada is also pointing out that the way to chant is by hearing. Shravanam. Where should the mind be? Mind should be in the sound vibration. That is how the reception of the holy name will take place. And then finally, he is saying that, okay, offenses will be there, inattentive chanting will be there, but keep chanting. Keep chanting. Don't give up chanting. By chanting, gradually, we'll be able to free our mind from the bad habits that it has developed for so many millions of lifetimes. The way I understand, chant attentively. What is the meaning of attentive chanting? Hear while you are chanting. And still, if the mind is drifting, grab the mind whenever you notice that the mind is drifting. Bring it back. Force it to listen to the holy name. And then have the confidence. Continue to chant. Depend upon the mercy of the Lord. Pray to the Lord and the spiritual master with all earnestness, with all sincerity, to help to overcome these defects. Yes, Mahaprabhu?
As we haven't got even that much of interest in bhakti, when even after reading and associating with devotees so many years, that we have got even for the material things or the material sense gratification in other sense, even if we can balance that the interest which we have, we may have interest in the material life, but we must also take a spiritual life that seriously, which we take our material life seriously. Why we haven't got that much even interest in the spiritual life which we have in material life?
Yeah. The reason actually is our conditioning. Conditioning actually means limiting ourselves to our senses. And we are dwelling, we are residing in the world of sense objects. See, our consciousness now is running through the senses to the objects of the senses. So this is the reality for us. Right? With our eyes we are seeing the objects of sense gratification. Right? With our ears we are hearing about the message of sense gratification. So that is the condition that we are unfortunately in, we have placed ourselves in. But at the same time, the remedy is there. And the remedy is the holy name and the association of devotees. We are very weak. Individually, for us to struggle against Maya, the material nature, is impossible. Maya is doibi hesha gunamoi mamo maya durattaya. It's impossible to surmount the influence of Maya. But if we remain in the association of devotees, that association of devotees give us the protection from the onslaughts of Maya. And that is why actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this Sankirtan movement. Sankirtan movement means collective endeavor for spiritual advancement. Right? So it's a collective endeavor, which was not really the case in other ages. Other ages it was mostly an independent endeavor, individual endeavor. When one wanted to make spiritual advancement, he used to go to the Himalayan mountain or to a forest. Right? And alone, of course under the guidance of a spiritual master, he used to make the endeavor. But then, he had to do it all by himself. Spiritual master also could not help him. It was his own independent endeavor. But in the age of Kali, it's a different thing. A totally different process actually. In the age of Kali, if we want to make spiritual advancement, where do we go? Do we have to go to the Himalayan mountain? Do we have to go to the forest? Do we have to go under the water? We simply have to come and join the ISKCON temple, isn't it? And Srila Prabhupada has created this wonderful atmosphere, the association of devotees. And now let us consider, if we remain in the association of devotees, no matter how weak we may be, do we fall down? Even the weakest devotee, if he remains in the association of devotees, his spiritual life is protected. Therefore, there are two things that are of principal consideration. Sadhu sange Krishna naam ei matra chai, brahmando jinite ar kono bostu nai. In the association of devotees, sadhus, all we need is to chant the holy name. And there is no other process more effective in the entire universe than that. So all we have to do is just remain in the association of devotees. And that's why Srila Prabhupada gave us ISKCON. ISKCON means what? The place where you can have the association of devotees and cultivate our spiritual life and make spiritual advancement. And then, ultimately, when do we see the result? Ultimately, when do you see the result? At the time of the examination? And what is the time of examination? The time of death. And now let us consider, we have seen quite a few devotees have left their bodies in the recent past. How did they leave their bodies? So the way they left their bodies, that is a proof that their spiritual life has been successful. So when you are alive, let us practice, prepare for the test, and at the time of death, let's write our exams, papers. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yeah, there is a question there. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for diverting your time with your very heavy schedule traveling. I'd like to really thank you for coming and giving us your association.
Thank you.
In your almost towards the end of your lecture, you were describing the verse Swarna Varna Hemanga. So you were saying that Krishna is a color of monsoon cloud, and he assumed this golden complexion. But it is also been explained most of the time that Radharani covers Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with her love. It's a golden complexion. So how do we connect these two? Is it a different?
Yeah, that golden complexion that Krishna assumes is the complexion of Srimati Radharani. Taptokanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranammami Hari Priya. So that is the complexion of Srimati Radharani. Taptokanchana Gaurangi, the complexion of molten gold. And Krishna, in this age, after performing his Braja Leela in Dwapar Yuga, Krishna considered why Radharani has such attraction for him. And what does she experience? What kind of joy does she experience by loving him? And what is there in him that attracts her so much? That so in order to understand that mood of Srimati Radha, these three things, Krishna assumed the mood of Srimati Radharani and the complexion of Srimati Radharani. Shri Radhaya Pranaya Mohima Kidrisho Banai Bashadda Jenadhuta Madhurima Kidrisho Bam Modiyo Shokhanchasra Madanubhavato Kidrisho Beti Lobhad Shochi Garbho Samojani Shochi Garbho Sindhau Harindu. So this has been described as Shri Radhaya Pranaya Mohima Kidrisho. What's the glory of Srimati Radharani's love for me? How it is? How is the love of Srimati Radharani for me? Then, by loving me, what kind of joy does she experience? And Shri Radhaya Pranaya Mohima Kidrisho Bani Bashadu Jenadbhuta Madhurima Kidrisho Bam Modiyo. What kind of sweetness is there in me? And loving me, Shokhanchasya Madanubhavato, by loving me, what kind of joy does she experience? In order to understand these three things, Krishna appeared in the womb of Mother Sachi. And the thing is, what is that? Like Krishna assumed the mood of Srimati Radharani. Krishna assumed also the mood, the complexion of Srimati Radharani. So that is the golden complexion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually the complexion of Srimati Radharani, and the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the loving mood of Srimati Radharani based on Mahabhava.
Yep.
Hare Krishna. Okay, last question. At the back there.
Even my question is, even Madhvacharya is not anticipating such a graceful phenomena of Lord Mahaprabhu. How come it is?
What's that?
Even Madhvacharya is not anticipating there is going to be a new grace in Krishna Bhakti.
That's why I mentioned in the earlier part of the lecture, that's why Krishna Chaitanya Rupa Goswami is considering that this must be Krishna himself. Because what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, no one gave before. No acharyas, not even Krishna himself gave. Therefore, this must be Krishna himself. So what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave is absolutely unique. It was never given before. Can have a little kirtan now.